this week on Capitalism, Race, and Democracy.
This is our duty, to know our past and honor it, to engage our present and improve it, and to imagine a whole new future and forge it.
2023 marks the 57th annual celebration of Kwanzaa with the theme Kwanzaa, Freedom, Justice, and Peace, Principles and Practices for a New World. We'll hear from longtime activists and organizers straight out of Compton, Miss Molly Bell.
There are certain rituals that are founded even in the seven principles of the Nguza Saba, like as such as when one celebrates Umoja, unity, Kujichagali, self-determination, or go to the last principle, which is faith.
Bukin Yere of the National Association of Kawaida Organizations uplifts the significance of the Nguza Saba and Kawaida.
This concept helps us to evolve in Kawaida philosophy, the concept that we are injured physicians who must, in the process of healing ourselves, heal and remake the world.
And we'll hear from Dr. Maulana Karinga on the importance of indigenous wisdom and ancient traditions. From Pacifica Radio, this is Capitalism, Race, and Democracy, a collective effort by producers from Pacifica stations and affiliates across the U.S. I'm your host, Akul Holt. According to Dr. Maulana Karinga, Kwanzaa was conceived and born in the womb, work, and transformative struggles of the Black Freedom Movement of the 1960s. Its message and meaning was shaped and shared in Sankofa initiatives of cultural retrieval and the best of African views, values, and practices. Here's Fahima Sek, co-producer, co-host of WPFW's What's at Stake, and co-producer of this program, and activist Molly Bell, straight out of Compton.
Molly Bell, thank you for joining us here at Pacifica Radio.
Reparations in memory of our ancestors, and Abari Ghani to you, Sister Fahima. Abari Ghani, for those who don't, and me, what's the grand news? What is the good news? And thank you, Radio Pacifica, for allowing me to talk about Kwanzaa. First of all, let's just begin from the beginning. Kwanzaa is a week-long African-American festival, December the 26th to January the 1st, that concludes one year and begins another year. The festival comes from the East African Swahili phrase, Marunde ya Kwanzaa, which means first fruits of the harvest, and was established in 1966 by Dr. Saba Maulana Karinga. And Saba means moral teacher, a leading theorist of African-American history and culture. A cultural celebration, Kwanzaa has no ties to specific religious beliefs or practice. It can, however, be enhanced by individual faith practices and tradition central to the celebration of the Nguza Saba, or the seven principles of Kwanzaa. Let's begin with Nguza Saba, are seven social and spiritual principles for everyday living developed by Dr. Maulana Karinga. These principles deal with the way we relate to one another and the development of positive self and cultural images. That is awesome. Let's begin with the first one. The first principle is umoja. And umoja, and I'm doing it in this order, umoja is to strive to for and maintain unity in the family. Umoja, that is the principle of unity. The second principle is Kujichagulia, which means self-determination, to define ourselves.
And that actually is my birthday. I'm born on the second day of Kwanzaa, Kujichagulia, and actually self-determination pretty much describes my personality.
That is great. A lot of people can't say that. So it is to determine ourselves, to name ourselves and create for ourselves and speak for ourselves. And I have to agree with you, that is you. The third principle is Ujima, which means collective work and responsibility. It means to build and maintain our community together and to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. The fourth principle is Ujamaa. Ujamaa means cooperative economics. Boy, we need that. To build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. The fifth principle is NIA, which means purpose. And I like those letters, N-I-A. It means necessary I am. And it means to make our collective vocations the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. The sixth principle is Kaumba, which means creativity, to do always as much as we can in the way that we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than when we inherit it. And the seventh principle is Imani, which means faith. Faith to believe with all our hearts in our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and our people, and the righteousness and victory of the struggle. Now, when you're celebrating Kwanzaa, I want you to use some of these symbols. One is a mikaka, which is the mat. You put everything on a mat. The kanara is the candle holder, and you're going to put seven candles in them. In the middle of the candle is always the black candle, and that's for what? Unity. That stands for our people. And then on the right, looking at it, on the right side of it is the green candle. You'll have three. And on the left side of it, looking at it, you'll have red. And those are the seven principles. And each day you take the black candle and light the candle for the very next day. Always light them with the people. The people has to do everything. And then we also have food like the ear of corn, kiumba, you know, which is the unity cup. On the first day, we drink from a cup. That's a unity cup. And we all take a little sip from that same cup. And that's very important. And of course, there's the mazo, which is fruits and vegetables. And then there's zawaidi, which are gifts. The gifts that are given to us by our family and friends, they're not toys. They are things that will enhance us, like books to read. I guess now that we're in the 21st century, videos that are positive. Give them things that are positive. We're not looking for bikes and skates like that. Those are the ones that they want. Now, Kwanzaa, according to Dr. Kuringa, who is the creator of it, he says that our African culture is the tradition, is the heart and soul of a principle called Kawaida. Let me just share with you the principle of Kawaida. Kawaida is, this is our duty, to know our past and honor it, to engage our present and improve it, and to imagine, and some of you have great imaginations, and to imagine a whole new future and forge it. That word forge is not a word I use a lot, but to forge it in the most ethical, effective, and expansive ways. Forging our future in righteous, relentless struggle. And then we have to remember, some people says, well, we can't do all of that. That's kind of hard. Well, Nelson Mandela said, it always seems impossible until it is done. Those are the principles. And Dr. Kuringa asked us just to remember that culture is our totality of sensitivity and celebration. And that includes religion, history, social organizations, economic, politically, shared wealth, shared good of power, power to bring good into the moral world for which we stand. So this is just a short emphasis on Kwanzaa and what it's all about. And I asked you to celebrate it. And when you end Kwanzaa, we always say Harambe, which means pull together. Abari Ghani is what's the good news. And we always end everything. Let's pull together. And I close by saying the way I close out here, all you prayer warriors out there, You know what you've got to do. You've got to keep fasting and praying because the struggle continues, but always to God be the glory. Thank you, Sister Fahima. Thank you, Pacifica Radio. And you keep on Pacifica Radio doing the great things that you are doing.
Well, Molly, I just want to give people the website for the US organization, www.us-organization.org. If you want to get more information about Kwanzaa and the organization that founded it and the annual Kwanzaa celebration, please log on to that website. Thank you so much, Molly Bell. I'm Fahima Sek for Pacifica Radio. Thank you.
Asante sana.
We thank Fahima Sek of WPFW and co-producer of this Kwanzaa program and Miss Molly Bell, longtime activist and organizer, for this segment.
It's Kwanzaa, what you gon' do? Spinning with my family, chill with the crew. We gon' share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African roots. This Kwanzaa, what you gon' do? Spinning with my family, chill with the crew. We gon' share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African roots.
On December 26th, goodbye Saint Nick. I light a black candle, look, ooh, it's lit. First day of Kwanzaa, Umoja means unity. Ain't messing with my clique, melanated, check the drip.
Self-determination is the mantra. Constant elevation like the Haitians when they conquered their colonizers. Yeah. Like a real life Wakanda, true believers. Day two, that's Kuji Chakulia.
Ujima, day three, responsibility. Let's put in that work together, bite a block, clean the streets. Collectively connected like the constellations. Plant a seed, watch it grow, reap what you sow.
Spend your black dollars on black business. Your black descendants, they hustle for your black children. A black trillion, that's how much black spending. Ujamaa economics is how blacks will win, Lord willing.
On the fifth day of Kwanzaa with my family. Woo. Nia means purpose, build our legacy. Rest in peace, Rebecca Jones, matriarchy. Continue the work, Fannie Lou Hamer passed to me.
Hey, Kuwumba, yeah, you know what that means. Creativity, and you know what that brings. Full pockets, yeah, you know I like greens. I get paid every time I write things and my inner light beams.
Day seven, all the candles lit on the Kanara. Imani means faith in a better tomorrow. Joy over sorrow, equity over equal. The kids are our future leaders. We believe in all our people.
Where black women shape the human race.
Facts.
Meet your maker, Queen Mother, we appreciate. You are sacred.
You are Harriet, you are Ella Baker. You're a maker, you're a manifester, a creator.
This Kwanzaa, what you gon' do? Spinning with my family, chill with the crew. We gon' share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African roots. This Kwanzaa, what you gon' do? Spinning with my family, chill with the crew. We gon' share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African roots.
This Kwanzaa featuring Pierce Freelon, Happy Kwanzaa Song for Kids and Families. This is Pacifica's Capitalism, Race, and Democracy. I'm Akua Holt. We travel now to the East Coast to talk to Bukim Nere of NACO, National Association of Kawaida Organizations, to tell us more about the significance of the Nguzu Saba, or the seven principles of Kwanzaa and Kawaida.
Your organization, NACO, has been providing Kwanzaa opportunities and programs in the New York area for several decades. Give us some history about NACO and your involvement with Kwanzaa.
Well, I'm an advocate of Kawaida. I was reading Dr. Maulana Karenga. It was a magazine. It was called Black Scholar. And I read some of his articles. And what happened was I found out that he was saying what I was thinking. And the articulation of it was the way I wish I could talk at an African history scholars meeting in Chicago. I got to see him and I was more enthralled. When I got back to New York, some of us who knew each other as activists had meetings over a period of 2 years. And then out of that came the National Association of Kawaida Organizations in different parts that would study Kawaida, the philosophy, which means Kawaida being a synthesis word, simply meaning the best of African tradition and reasoning. We formulated a group, and since 1988, we've been together. We've become clearer on different issues that we all supported and would give a national outreach to. There In 1966, Dr. Karenga created Kwanzaa, and it has grown steadily, and has grown nationally and internationally as a practice to observe one, that which would bring us together, and a spirit in which we could celebrate our Africanness, the fact that there was a need to address our culture, how that would relate to how we deal with the world and our historic issues with our oppression.
Talk to us about some of the activities you guys have been engaged in over the years.
What we've done is we brought in scholars, we brought in medical people to discuss issues such as the donation of your organs upon death, medical insurance, and things like that. We do programs that cover the political spectrum, whether that's international or national, to bring more clarity and support, a way of defining how we see things philosophically. And one of the reasons is people may challenge what you're thinking. You begin to strengthen yourself by knowing why you practice a certain way of life, because nobody challenges why people support Hanukkah or Cinco de Mayo. Nobody challenges those practices naturally from the oppressor or those that embrace that thinking. They want you to explain why you would be so focused on keeping your identity, seeking out the knowledge of yourself from a lost memory.
I remember in maybe the late 90s or around that time, maybe mid 90s, there was a lot of discussion and debate. Was Kwanzaa to replace Christmas?
Yeah.
Was Kwanzaa, what's your response? And help us understand the basis of Kwanzaa.
Well, one thing is that we live in a Christian culture. And regardless of whether you practice Islam, whether you are a Christian, whether you are Jewish or Baha'i or Mahatian in our sacred passage, this is a cultural holiday in which we come together to really reflect and project on our Africanness as a people. So it's cultural. It has nothing to do with religion. There are certain rituals that are founded even in the seven principles of the Nguza Saba, like as such as when one celebrates Umoja, unity, Kujichagali, self-determination, or go to the last principle, which is faith. These are just an ingathering of thought and practice that comes out of guidelines of what do you accept your behavior, not only from your own thinking, but how you interact with other people.
Again, when they argue why Kwanzaa over all the others, and I heard some scholars debate this issue and say, every single holiday we celebrate, they're man-made holidays, every single one.
Yeah, they are. But one needs to understand, but you know, what we've done as a creative people is always take on just whatever practice is going down and made this just a day of where a family gathering, where you get to interact with your family, but not also recognize that most thoughts come out of one human to another. The divinity process, we would have to have a better debate about that, a more open debate about that. But all holidays are created by man.
Brother Nukim Nyerere, thank you very much for being with us. And
okay.
State with us the name of your...
My name is Bokim Nyerere. I'm from the New York chapter, the National Association of Kiwaida Organizations. The website that would put people mostly into us is www.iaafestival.org. www.iaafestival.org. Email address would be NACO, NAKO, infogroup@yahoo.com.
That was Bokim Nyerere, a founding member of the New York City chapter of NACO, National Association of Kiwaida Organizations.
Umoja, unity that brings us together. Umoja, unity that brings us together. Umoja. Together, kujichagulia.
Ujima.
Working and building a union.
Ujima.
Working and building a union.
Ujima.
Working and building a union.
Sweet Honey in the Rock, Seven Principles. You're listening to Pacifica's Capitalism, Race, and Democracy. I'm your host, Akua Holt. Kwanzaa is a Pan-African celebration of family, community, and culture. It is recognized as a celebration and an act of freedom and the practice of principles that engenders and sustains liberating ways to understand and assert African values in the world. Here's Dr. Malala Karinga on Indigenous Wisdom, Recovery, and the Oneness of Being, a 2014 lecture.
So what I want to do is to lay out a philosophical framework and foundation for my intellectual and practical work of culture recovery and culture reconstruction, and then move to discuss perhaps the signature piece of my culture recovery and work called Kwanzaa. I want to talk about its relevance not only to the process of culture recovery and reconstruction, but also about the African ethical imperative of Sarut Stop, that is, to heal, repair, and remake the world, making it more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited. And certainly in the process of how we see things, we must begin by questioning the human-centered arrogance that led to the self-assigning of humans in the name of God, gun, and questionable good of man, the right to dominate, to tread down, and relentlessly exploit the world, earth. And we must ask ourselves in earnest, what real or hidden reasons, what latent logic or simple self-serving common sense is there in knowingly destroying the basis for life on the planet, including our own and that of future generations? In a word, what is the nature need of vulgar materialism, social madness, and moral numbness that allows us to practice ecocide without considering, caring about, or taking serious its sure and certain implications for world genocide? As Africans, we are compelled to practice a morality of remembrance and recovery. As late as in our time, when the great civil rights and human rights activist of our time, Fannie Lou Hamer, said, there are two things we should all care about, never to forget where we came from, and always praise the bridges that carried us over. And in that, she teaches us a morality of remembrance. And part of our recovery is to practice that morality of remembrance, to retrieve the best of what it means to be African and human, and speak that special culture truth to the world, and use it to make our own unique contribution to the forward flow of human history. And so we, in practicing the morality of remembrance and recovery, reach back and dig deep in order to recover from our culture, ancient and modern, the best of what it means to be African and human, and to bring it forth in the service of doing and sustaining good in and for the world. I started to develop the whole idea of recovery and when I was a student at City College in the late 50s, 59, and then in the UCLA in the 60s. And this vision that I had and began to develop has as a core values that reaffirm the oneness of being, the interrelatedness of life, and the cooperative responsibility to build the good and sustainable world we all want and deserve to live in. And as a result of my study, I mean, this concept now is rooted in the principle and practice of what we call Maat, or Maat, M-A-A-T, ancient Egyptian polysemic word, multiple meaning word, that serves as a moral idea in ancient Egypt. And it means and requires rightness in three realms, in the realm of the divine, in the realm of the nature, and in the realm of society or among human beings. It links the divine, natural, and social in an inseparable bond and sees the world, the whole world, as sacred space. Moreover, it recognizes the world is often damaged in natural and social ways and urges that we constantly practice Sarut Stop, a pillar of Majin ethics, which means as I said earlier, to repair, renew, remake, and transform the world, making it more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited. But we also retrieve from modern texts. I don't want you to think we stay in ancient. We also, in dealing with this whole idea of recovery and using it to enrich our lives and to transform, repair, and remake the world, we also draw from Sankofa models and messages for environmental ethic from more recent time and learn valuable lessons from them. Clearly, the gentle and creative scientist, Dr. George Washington Carver, easily comes to mind. He not only made miracles out of peanuts, corn, and soy, but also strengthened the poor subsistence farmers and helped transform and save Southern agriculture. He had come to Tuskegee, he said, for the benefit of my people. And joining the faculty at the university, he not only taught various courses, but also linked campus and community, reaching out to small farmers, writing bulletins of suggestions, lecturing and conducting experiments with them and for their benefit. His environmental vision began with a profound appreciation, even reverence for the natural world. In this regard, he taught kindness toward nature. This is a very beautiful concept, a kindness toward nature. It's expressed in his teachings that we should even be kind to, quote, be kind to soil. For, he says, quote, unkindness to anything is an injustice to that thing. And there are consequences for this injustice, Dr. Carver also taught, the organic unity of the world. He stressed the, quote, the mutual relationships of the animal, mineral, and vegetable kingdom, and how utterly impossible it is for one to exist in a highly organized state without the others, unquote. Moreover, he anticipated our later discussion of environmental racism, recognizing the intersection of race, poverty, and land use and ownership, and the greater inability of the poor to deal with radical changes in climate, soil, and social conditions. Dr. Carver also was self-consciously a conservative, practicing the three R's of environmentalism, reduce, reuse, and recycle. Indeed, he said, quote, my work is that of conservation. As a rule, we are wasteful, he said. But if people became aware of the interrelatedness of things and were ecologically conscious, they would, quote, they could not help but recognize ways to make use of materials they had previously discarded or overlooked, unquote. Finally, he taught not only the complexity and interrelatedness of nature, but also its fragility. And he stressed long-term solutions rather than quick fixes, which aggravate a problem and delay urgent attention, which should be given. To sustain the world, we must be rightfully attentive to it, he said. Thus, he said, quote, look about you, take hold of things that are here, unquote. Be kind to the world and all in it. Detest the waste, he said. Cooperate to create good and to share it equitably and wisely. But at the heart of any sound and effective environmental vision and practice must also be active engagement to change and end the social condition that not only threaten and diminish the environment, but also devastate and destroy the people themselves. In a word, social justice is the foundation and fulcrum on which environmental justice is raised or founded. If we don't have social justice, it's very difficult to talk about environmental justice.
Here, here.
This is why Dr. Wangari Maathai, environmental activist, Nobel Peace Prize laureate, and founder of the Green Belt Movement, which over 30 years planted 30 million trees in Kenya, links democracy, human rights, sustainable development, and peace. It is why she linked poverty, oppression, and environmental degradation. She thus sought to empower the people through inclusion and effective participation in building the world they want and deserve. Indeed, she says that through work and struggle, quote, they come to recognize that they are the primary custodian and beneficiaries of the environment that sustains them, unquote. And they move to protect themselves and the environment from, quote, the threat of globalization, commercialization, privatization, and piracy of biological materials found in their lands, unquote. Dr. Maathai also calls for an African cultural revival that reaffirms our ancient and ongoing reverence for nature and our sense of oneness with the world that, quote, revives our sense of belonging to a larger family with which we have shared our evolutionary process, unquote. Our task, she concludes, in the spirit and speech of Saroj Tai, is to, quote, assist the earth to heal her wounds and in the process heal our own, indeed, to embrace the whole creation in all its diversity, beauty, and wonder, unquote. Yeah. This concept helps us to evolve in Kawaita philosophy, the concept that we are injured physicians who must, in the process of healing ourselves, heal and remake the world. So that is always an interactive process. And the reason we say injured physician rather than just injured person, because we don't want a people to not realize the great potential within them, that they have it within their capacity to actually heal themselves. So they must become physicians that not only heal and repair and remake themselves in the process, also heal, repair, and remake the world. I credit Kwanzaa in this context of the struggle for three basic reasons. One, to reaffirm our rootedness in African culture and to extract from that culture new and more ethical and relevant ways of being African and human in the world. So we had to reaffirm that rootedness in our culture and recover the best of what it spoke to us and the world, because we had been lifted out of our culture by the Holocaust of enslavement and made a footnote and forgotten casualty in other people's culture. And so as Cabral says, part of our struggle was what? To return to our own history and culture. So as we always say, we could speak our own special culture truth and make our own unique contribution to how the society and world are reconceived and reconstructed. Second, I created Kwanzaa in order to give us a time when we as African people could come together, reaffirm the bonds between us, and meditate on the awesome meaning of being African in the world. What does it mean to be the elders of humanity, to be the fathers and mothers of humanity and human civilization, to have introduced in the Nile Valley some of the basic disciplines of human knowledge? What does it mean to be sons and daughters of the Holocaust of enslavement, to have demonstrated an adaptive vitality and a human resilience and resourcefulness unsurpassed by any people? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to hold on to your humanity in the most inhuman situation, when you are simply an object of lust, sex work, an instrument for someone else's will? What does it mean to come out of that, having your capacity to read and write outlawed, and then coming out and in less than 100 years create a world-class literature second to none? So we talk about Africa in ways, and African people in ways we don't do any other time, all over the world, on every continent in the world, throughout the world African community, Kwanzaa is celebrated by millions of people. And when they celebrate it, it's the Africanists that celebrate. So that it doesn't matter what religion you are, a class, or political persuasion. The idea is that we are African people. And here, at this moment, this week, this 7 days, we reaffirm the dignity affirming and life-enhancing values and history of our people and our culture.
Dr. Mylana Karinga on Indigenous Wisdom, Recovery, and the Oneness of Being. The theme for this year's celebration is Kwanzaa, Freedom, Justice, and Peace, Principles and Practices for a New World. Learn more about the history of Kwanzaa and a celebration near you. Visit officialkwanzawebsite.org.
Habarigani, Habarigani, Kwanzaa.
Feel the joy as we sing of the love togetherness can surely bring emotion. Set the table, no matter strong, thankful for the first fruits of the year. This day I light a candle just for you. Come join the party, it's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of year. Red and yellow, black or white, your old It's alright, it's a celebration that should last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
There is much we can do.
Alright.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is much we can do.
Alright.
Happy Kwanzaa.
It's a celebration. Remembering times of old. Tradition is the food that fills our souls. Yes, it does. Still, the children are future of all our hopes and dreams. Let's teach them well. Let's teach them well. Come join the party. It's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of the year. Red and yellow, black or white, yellow, it's alright. It's a celebration that will last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Alright.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Everybody.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do.
Teddy Pendergrass, Happy Kwanzaa. A celebration of life with legendary poet, professor, and scholar activist Sister Sonia Sanchez, exploring the most important question of the 21st century, what does it mean to be human, held at a TEDx event in Philadelphia and produced independently.
Toni Morrison said we die. That may be the meaning of life, but we do language. That may be the measure of our lives. And my dear sister Toni Morrison, how you do this thing called language, the measure of our lives, how you caress, embrace, untangle this language, recapture our memory, how you stand words up and let them minuet our blood, how you help us recover our silver words as you open up the sorcery of language and take us out on your wings of laughter and pain, intellect and beauty and love, and we are one, alive, apart from the elasticity of the dead. That's what we've all tried to do, we writers, you know, because in Japan, it is said that the words of the soul reside in the spirit called Kotodama, or the spirit of words, and the act of speaking words has the power to change the world. That's what I've been doing, trying to change this bloody world, my sisters and my brothers, you know that? All these years with these poems that we did, all these years with these speeches, and all these years with example, and all these years with teaching. You know, I taught for 40 years, and that's a long, long time, but I have and have had some amazing students, brothers and sisters. I traveled to Cuba for an international writers conference in the late 1970s. After I had read a paper to an audience, some of the officials asked me if I wanted anything. I said, yes, I would like to meet the great Cuban poet Nicolas Guillén. They stared at me, said he wasn't feeling well, said they tried to arrange it. 2 hours later, they gathered me up, and as I entered his office, he was standing in the middle of the room, feet planted on Cuban earth, legs no longer strong, but arms strong like Elizabeth Catlett's black women's arms. And he said, Sonia, Sonia Sanchez, Gomer Langston Hughes. And I smiled, a smile of recognition, folded myself into his arms, and he hugged me so hard that I couldn't breathe. And I thought, hold it, I didn't come all this way to die in Cuba. And then I realized that if I just stopped struggling, if I just leaned into his breath, I would be all right. And I leaned into his breath, and we began to breathe as one. That is what the great poet Langston Hughes' poetry taught us all, the necessity to learn how to lean into each other's breath and breathe as one. That's what we've been trying to do, to make us all breathe as one, to stop this division that is going on, you know. Hey, we're all the same people, different shades of humanity out here. You got to stop it. And I'm saying it to you young people, because it's your world. We have messed up this world for you. I mean, we have screwed it up, you know. And it's up to you to really, really, really bring it back. And I'm just so happy. I've taught for so long, and I've seen some of the young brothers and sisters, you know, begin to change the world. So listen, gentle persons, I come to you This evening, with two voices, the voice of the praiser praising you, I come to you with the voice of the poet, a weaver of words threading silver and gold into our veins. Listen, listen to what Elizabeth Kaplan said. For a better life, for our culture, we must impose peace on our country and the world. Woke up this morning with my eyes on peace. I say, woke up this morning with my eyes on peace. Woke up this morning with my eyes on peace. Gonna live, gonna walk, gonna live in peace. Someone said, there's a dance in each one of us. I would say there's also light, moon, prayer, rain, ash, and river. A river of castanets feeling the pulse of this day. You, my brothers and sisters, must finally break into a dance of butterflies, winging in and out of our American dreams, hanging bamboo laughter, lighting our world, our homes, our streets, our eyes, our memory against peacock catastrophes called war. You, my brothers and sisters, must finally answer the question, the most important question of the 21st century. What does it mean to be human? Not pretty, not intelligent, not bright, not looking good all the time, but what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be human? This is a poem about hands, I think. You frontier men and women whose hands will discover life through helping the uninitiated, hands wrapped in wrists as you reach out to humankind. And I hold out my hands to you this afternoon, my sisters, my brothers, these hands with no eyes, these hands with no nostrils, these hands with no ears. Now I dress them up like a musician so they can see you home, so they can accompany you as you move, surrounded by the voices of your ancestors, as you move across the scent of tongues. What to say to you now, my brothers and my sisters, Igor, Sarah, Louise, Yen, Juan, Jiyoung, Rashid, Kenja, Olga, Jenny, Joseph, Perti, Yasmin, Rachel, David, Jose, Shakira, Richard, Shaquille, in the soft morning air as the world holds us all in a single breath. What song to sing you, Rebecca, Angelo, Jose, John, Lee, Tanya, Rashid, Nicolette, Suja, Karen, Charlotte, Yolanda, Nozuma, Tara, Shamika, Angela, Sarah, Uzma, Edward, Megan, Robert, Hala, Hassan, we sing. Will you let me in today, America, world? It is time for young, new words, new ideas, young visions. We sing today is Friday. We have passed this way many years of our lives on our way home to you. We have walked 1,000 midnights and our eyes are anointed with indigo. We sing amen, amen, amen. A woman, a woman, a woman. This is a poem about you. You fun-loving men and women, you flint and feather men and women, you country and cathedral men and women with hearts in your mouths, singing the morning wind and becoming the wind, tearing the wings off ignorance and greed and war and guns and assassinations and miseducation, no education, poverty, arrogance, war, 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 folding yourselves in the music of a Spanish guitar, forever strumming racial, sexual, social, economic, religious, justice and peace. Peace. Peace, 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 peace. This is a poem, you'll say I know. This is a poem, you'll all say I know it, about that great genius W.E.B. Du Bois who said, what shall the end be? The world, old and fearful things, war and wealth, murder and luxury, or shall it be a new thing, a new peace and a new democracy of all races, a just humanity of equal men and women? This is a poem about a new time, about 4 million gallons of oil exploding in the ocean last year, leaving the Gulf Coast startled by an avalanche of death and greed. This is a poem about 9/11 and you burdened with knowledge and terror that no other generation has ever known. This is a poem about a history of Africans jumping, screaming in the ocean in protest to that obscenity called slavery in the Americas. This is a poem about a history of Native Americans defending their country against invaders, walking their blue death walk of relocation. This is a poem about Jews and artists and gypsies dying in concentration camps, their children moving in the rain of ash unraveling mines. This is a poem about Chicanos making us remember this country is a reservoir of immigrants who helped build this country. This is a poem about the slaughter and rapes in Bosnia, the Congo, Rwanda, Liberia, Syria, many massacres of the spirit, mind, and body in the Middle East. This is about the truth in our children's eyes as we wash the feet of our country and this earth. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. As we sanitize the walls of the world with environmental justice. As we anoint our hands with light, as we walk towards ourselves and find others just like ourselves. This is the poem with no jet-propelled pain, no irrelevant death squads, just a memory of hands, a memory of eyes calling out your eyes, morning stars opening us to pray as you create dreams, as you go out through these university doors, textured by colors, as the day disrobes in prayer. Today is your day, my brothers and my sisters. So come, 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 come. Nourish the world where every 3 days 120,000 children die of starvation or the effects of starvation. Come, 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 come. Nourish the world away from what Bernard Haring, the great Roman Catholic teacher, calls the materialistic growth mania of for more and more productions and more markets for selling unnecessary and even damaging products. It is a sin against the generations to come. You, what shall we leave to them? Rubbish, atomic weapons, numerous enough to make this world uninhabitable, a poison atmosphere and polluted water. Come, 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 you and I, let us go into this world praising ourselves, elaborating a metaphysic for the universe, carrying earth from one plane to another in peace, clothing this planet and our eyes with information, passion, hope, peace, love, peace, peace, come, come, and become. Come, come, become lightning flesh. Come, come, and become a river running, cracking through rocks of hatred and hunger. Come, and become, come, and become, come, and become. Finally, you and I must paint our faces guardians of the earth. Finally, we must know that we are not quoting, I have become death. No, we are, must be, must quote, I have become life. And therefore, I must oppose all killings and murders and wars and rapes and invasions and executions and invasive actions. I have become life, life. Life, 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 life. I burn silver and red and black and yellow and brown and white with life for our children, for the earth. I have become life. We must all say, I have become life. Look at me. I have become life. I walk in light. I move like the dawn with a tint of blue in my hair. I say, I have become life, 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 life. I walk a path that clears away the debris of racists and sexists and homophobes and terrorists and murderers and earth pornographers. I have become life. And you and I must become small miracles, must push the wind down, enter the slow bloodstream of America and the world, scrape the rust from our eyes, go floor by floor, window by window, become new brides and bridegrooms among change. And you and I must challenge your elders, your families, your communities, your churches, your cathedrals, your mosques, your synagogues with our breaths to breathe in blacks and Latinos and Jews and gays and Muslims and Asians and Native Americans and whites and lesbians and Chicanos and Africans and transgenders to gather up our rainbow colored skins in peace and racial and sexual and economic and religious justice. So come, come, come with yourselves, singing life, singing life, singing eyes, singing hands, alarming the deaf singers that we have come to celebrate life, 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 until we become seeing women and men again, walking barefoot across our souls, always with a prayer on our tongues, talking towards the spirit. I say walking towards the spirit, and we must put on our eyes where there is always the precision of women and men sewing themselves into the sleeves of change and beauty and activism and change and love and peace and peace and peace.
It'll get better, it'll get better, it'll get better, it'll get better, eBay, yeah, eBay, yeah, eBay, yeah, it'll get better because of you, 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 you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Celebration of Life with legendary poet, professor, and scholar activist Sister Sonia Sanchez. Sanchez is known for her innovative melding of musical formats such as the blues and traditional poetic formats such as haiku and tanka. She also uses spelling to celebrate the unique sound of Black English, for which she gives credit to poets such as Langston Hughes and Sterling Brown. She was born on September 9, 1994, and was a leading figure in the Black Arts Movement, and has written over a dozen of books of poetry, as well as short stories, critical essays, plays, and children's books. In the 60s, she released poems and periodicals aimed towards African-American audiences and published her debut collection, Homecoming, in 1969. In 1963, she received the Pew Fellowship in the Arts, and in 2001, she was awarded the Robert Frost Medal for her contributions to the canon of American poetry. Music by Pharoah Saunders. You've got to have freedom. And that concludes today's edition of Capitalism, Race, and Democracy. We thank all of Pacifica's sister stations and affiliates who contribute to the production of this show. Today's program was produced by me, Akua Holt, and co-produced by Fahima Sack. Special thanks to our editor, Paulina Fazilyev. You can find this and all previous episodes at our website, capitalismraceanddemocracy.org. Make sure you click the subscribe button. Follow us on X, formerly Twitter, at PacificaCRD. I've been your host, Akua Holt. Thanks for listening. Before we go, I leave you with this quote by Langston Hughes. A dream deferred is a dream denied.